Good. It is 10:22 a.m. on November 12, 2024, and we will be calling to order the regular meeting with the Board of Directors of Groveland Community Services District with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Let us have a roll call, please.
Okay, Director Sloan.
Present.
Director Armstrong.
Present.
And Director Edwards.
Here.
Very good. So we have three directors. We have a quorum. This meeting is called the order.
I move to approve the agenda.
Oh,
I'll second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve the order of agenda. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, so there's approved with three ayes and two absences. Members of the public are appreciated for taking the time to attend this meeting and provide comments on matters of district business. Public comments are subject to a 3-minute time limit and a total of 10 minutes on any individual topic. Although no action can be taken on items not listed on the agenda, please know we are listening carefully to your comments.
We also have a number of different ways to submit comments on agenda items. We can make sure that the folks that are on the Zoom platform have the opportunity to submit comments. You can use an email and send it to board@gcsd.org, and we will monitor that for each item where public comment will be taken. You can use the chat function within the Zoom platform and put your message there. And we'll catch that, or you can raise your hand and we'll watch for those as well. So those will be announced by the board president and the comments will be read.
Very good. Are there any desires to make public comment on in general terms, not on matters that are on the agenda? We have nothing on Zoom. We have not received anything. Therefore, we'll move on. So item three is information items, and we'll start with the staff reports. We'll begin with the fire department report.
Okay. Hello, Travis Chen, fire captain, Groveland Fire Department. This is our staff report for the month of October 2024. As far as operations, on October 21st, we were dispatched to a possible vegetation fire. When the crews arrived, they found that the homeowner was burning his stump, and they were educated on proper burning guidelines to prevent these type of incidents in the future.
No fine.
Yeah, not on that one. But they do get an official warning, and then we usually take over there. And then on October 28th, Engine 781 in Tuolumne County, Engine 631 were dispatched to a possible structure fire, along with CAL FIRE Engine 4466 and CAL FIRE Engine 4476. And when they arrived, they found light smoke coming from a chimney. The fire had extended into the chimney chase and flue. They quickly knocked down the fire and confirmed that there wasn't any further extension.
Nice.
All of the vehicles are in service and available. Some additional training that we went through in the month of October. FAE Herrera assisted Columbia College Fire Academy with common passenger vehicle extrication class. He also opened his instructor 2 and auto extrication task books. We also trained on hose evolutions, extrication, patient packaging, ladders, Narcan, epinephrine, AED and Lucas device. We also did some battalion training on incident command and PG&E facilities. On the training section, there's some pictures from our battalion training where we did computer simulations and practice incident command. And then there's also some pictures under fire department news from the class that Engineer Herrera helped teach. There was also a lot of electric vehicle scenarios in that class, which is very interesting.
That's a whole new thing. Whole new challenge.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, don't want to bet it in the wrong spot.
Yeah. And then as far as call volume, we had 40 calls in the month of October, one of which was automatic aid to the county. And then the Tuolumne County Engine 631 had 15 calls. And that's around average for the month of October when we look back on the past few years. Overall, year to date, we're a little under average. Looks like 436 so far.
It's actually quite a bit down from.
Yeah. I think interesting. During COVID, I think our call volume went up.
Well, yeah, there were so many extra people here.
Yeah.
So a lot of your medicals, 20 or less.
Yeah. Anything marked as that was the paramedic on the ambulance.
Yep.
Did some sort of advanced life support, ground treatment, started an IV, did a 12 lead. Any engagement like that we mark as an ALS call.
Yep. That's awesome.
And that concludes my report, unless there's any questions.
I have a couple things to add. Countywide stuff, and with CAL FIRE, for Groveland Fire, and actually all fire agencies, a couple of grants have opened up, fuels grant, and then the assistance to firefighters grant, which is for equipment. We put it for that last year that didn't get approved, so we'll be looking at that, see what the needs are, and where we can best, each year when FEMA does these grants, the AFG grants, SAFER or Fire Prevention Safety, they list their high priorities. So we're going to see where we're at with that and what the needs are there. They all only fund the high priorities. They also do favor joint grant applications, so that we'll look at that too. As far as CAL FIRE, fire season technically is still in play, so I think we're out of absent a long dry period and significant winds. I think we're out of the danger zone for large significant fires in the county. All of the CAL FIRE units are still staffed and will be until, I believe, the middle of December. There's been some changes recently with the budget, the governor extending the period of time that CAL FIRE is fully funded. Also, I think I mentioned before, this year will be the first year where another year, I guess, because we've had three state-funded engines for the last few years in the unit, and they're going to add two more of those engines at Green Springs, which is down at J59108, and Valley Springs. And then over the next 4 or 5 years, they're going to transition where they have 8 engine staff year-round throughout the unit. And then the fire season, what we call fire season, fully funded season, will be 9 months. So you'll have 2 engines up here 9 months out of the year at the CAL FIRE station. So a lot of transitions, and they're going to, the state engines are 3-0 staff. They're going to what we call traditional staffing, a captain, engineer, and a firefighter on each engine, which is huge. So it's really, and then this month also, the state bargaining unit 8, Frank and file folks went to engine staff went to a 66 hour work week starting the end of this month. So their schedule is going to be a little bit different. That's basically there's 13 28 day work periods in a calendar year. And so for this first 2-year contract, they're going to work one less day every 28 of the 28 days. So they're working instead of 12, they'll work. I'm sorry, it was 12.
Yeah.
They'll work 11. And then eventually the goal is to get them on a 56 hour work week. So they'll work 10 days, like the rest of the fire service pretty much around the country does.
Yeah.
And with that, Groveland's already in a position to do that with the last agreement that we signed, funded a sixth position, which is yet to be filled. Hopefully, it will be this month. And so there'll be six personnel through the CAL FIRE and Berlin agreement. So that will permit for the 2-on-4 off. It doesn't have any vacation relief or training relief. It does staff the Indian minimally. Again, we've been just recently given direction to start moving towards 3 people per day with all of our Schedule A contracts. So that's something when we start our next agreement, which expires the end of June. We'll start having those discussions to plan for the agreement in the future to roll to 3 people per day and see how that works. Of course, that comes with 3 additional positions. So, burning, we talked about burning. Burning is open burning now, still with a permit. So that means a 4-foot diameter pile with clearance. So it has to be intense. All those rules, just like in the springtime, but you can burn on a burn day if you have a permit. And the permits are online, they're free, so people, the public, can get those. Measure Z failed. Measure Z was a sales tax increase, I think we all know. It failed, so the county is in a rush of meetings and trying to figure out how to plan for next fiscal year when there's significant, they don't call them deficits, underfunding. So we'll be working with the board and the county administration to address that for county fire. All indications are this engine up here will remain funded. And it's current, we're working on an agreement to renew the co-location agreement. So that shouldn't change up here as far as all the indications I've been given so far. So, but that may not hold true for all of our other fires here. So that is will be coming in the next few months. We kind of should have a plan with the new board. That may change things as well. Two new board members for the county. So well, that's the end of my report. Let's see if you have any questions.
Any questions?
How bad did it fail?
I think it was 43%.
45 to 55. Oh, good.
But the measure A, which was a supportive measure, it's like 73, 75. Yeah. So it was my humble opinion as Andy Murphy was the community saying, yeah, the sheriff, fire, those are priority.
Yeah. I'm wondering, you know, I mean, I guess I really shouldn't make a comment on it. I don't know, just, I wish they were able to dedicate that money. I think it would have possibly passed and would have done that. Because most people I talk to, well, I'm not voting for it because it goes in the general fund.
Yeah.
And that I almost didn't vote for it, but I know that we need it badly. I mean, it bit my tongue and voted for it, but I, you know, it shouldn't have been put in the general fund.
The last time it was done was pounds of special tax. And they're up to 48%. So it's 3%.
And it's going to require much
later. Yeah, 66 or 67%.
Yeah.
So I don't thank the firefighters for putting up signs and doing that stuff.
It's too bad that people want the fire department when they need it, but then they don't want it. They don't think about it. Sad.
I took at least a dozen phone calls on it. And one of them lasted the entire drive from Sacramento home.
Oh my gosh.
The good thing is, at the beginning, she said she, you know, she was really mad.
Yeah.
She said, damn, she said, I kind of like you. I believe you. I still voted no.
Yeah.
She called me after she voted.
Yeah.
Anyway, just very, very interesting misunderstanding of how things,
yeah,
how things are.
It's too bad. Okay.
Moving on to CERT.
Morning, everyone. Bob couldn't be here, so I got voluntold to do it. So we had October 26th, we were actually going to do a helicopter landing zone training at the airport here, but that got postponed because the pilot was ill. So hopefully another time soon. October 22nd, we had a team meeting on traffic management for the 49th Festival, which we're in, and a few others. But it doesn't say what the report was on the after action results, but I'm assuming they're much better informed for next year now. So we're meeting, Groveland CERT's meeting with Trombley County OES and Twain Heart CERT. In a program manager's meeting, they'll be coordinating countrywide training, countywide training and deployments, so that there's you know, more communication between all three of them. So the first training we're going to do is telephone support training during emergencies. So we'll be able to help out at the county emergency operations center with phone support and stuff like that. So, and that's it for CERT.
Can I have a go back?
Mm-hmm.
On the EOC, I mentioned it a couple people before the meeting, but the sheriffs, the county is moving temporarily the sheriff's dispatch to the EOC.
Mm-hmm.
So if there is a need for the EOC to be open when they start construction, or after they start construction or movement, it will be at the ANF building at the committee's room there on the third floor.
Right.
Temporary.
Everyone. Operations manager.
Morning, everybody.
Morning.
Pretty mellow October, you know, gearing up for the wintertime coming in, but we had a notable thing on the water side. We had three service lines. We'll be getting a couple of those every month. Pretty easy repairs, though. Nobody lost water. Just a customer the service line provided water to. Sewer side, the guys were out in the Unit 12 area trying to locate some equipment. So we're trying to get some INI equipment out there. One thing that the company needs is exact location. So we have to have this thing GIS. And so Adam was trying to clean that up, but some things were missing. The guys kind of, you know, they had to go out there and dig up some manholes and flushing branches and stuff like that. So that was the notable thing on the sewer side. They're getting it all knocked out, and hopefully by this time next year, we'll have some good information coming in and see where we're having some issues. Projects, headwork project, we are at substantially completion on that. So that is really, really big. We haven't started it yet. We're waiting for some sensors from the company that we purchased the equipment from. They sent the wrong ones. So once we get that, we'll put that thing in the service. But we did have training and a walkthrough on it, and everything operated. It worked. It just, they're called zero speed sensors. And they shut down the equipment if it gets bound up or if it's not spinning. So they said we could run it.
Kind of important.
Yeah, they said we could run it, but I'm like, well, how would it fault out? Oh, your pump would just, or your motor would just fault. And I'm like, yeah, it's not. So we're going to wait. But yeah, it's hopefully by the end of this week, we should have it. Next week, the programmer will be here to integrate that into our SCADA system. So that'll be the next step. Cool. But all the equipment's in, it looked very, very nice. I just can't wait to put it in.
I'd like that our next meeting gives a little bit kind of a walkthrough of this book. It's a really good, really good project. You know, we'll throw that out.
It's not like the old system, so we won't see all the souvenirs. We'll just see what's coming out of the press pump part. Let's see. We had the water fill station. They started the project right out here. You can see the work there in the parking lot. That's going to be the automated water system that people can come into a water tenders, 5 gallon jugs, totes at, you know, 300 gallon, at the back of trunks and stuff of that nature. So that's moving. A little slower than I was hoping. They should have already done, in my opinion, but hey, it's moving along. As long as we hit the deadline, we're going to be good on that. Park project, it's right there. It's getting close. They have some plants to put in the ground. They have a little bit more on the shade structure or the structures themselves down there, but it's getting pretty close on that. Few minor. I think we have our final walkthrough on Thursday this week. So we ought to do like a punch list items, and hopefully they have all that other stuff done. Let's see, what else? Pipeline project. They were supposed to mobilize last week, and I believe they started moving equipment up to the Tank 5 and Merrill and Harper Road pipeline project that's coming up. So they should be starting that pretty soon, and they're going to start with the pipeline project. So they'll be digging in the street going down Harper Road. So noted for you guys that will be kind of a spot that's, you know, they'll have it open, but it might take a little bit to get through or around some of that stuff. So. CDBG, supposed to be out. That's the other grant that's going to provide the new pipeline down the north side of Highway 120 from Deer Flat all the way into Big Oak Flat. That will take place or go out to bid in December. So that's another huge, huge project.
2018? I just remember when we, you know, first put that in.
Yeah, we stole a piece out of it. There's still a lot of that project that needs to be completed, but that's going to be huge for us, just for Big Oak Flat in that area down there. Having 2 8-inches tied together, it's going to help these guys out and everybody else down there too that wants to develop or do whatever. What else we got here? Let's see.
Time to buy property in Big Oak Flat.
Yes. Yes, definitely. I that's it on the project, really. I know the firehouse, we're supposed to be getting the cabinets replaced. And I know the contractor said he was going to reach out to Travis. I don't know if that ever happened about storing the cabinets underneath your.
We have them.
Oh, you do have
They're
them?
Delivered.
Yeah. Okay.
They are delivered last week.
Okay. Perfect. And they say once he gets there, he should be able to start it. So I'm hoping that's soon. But we'll see. Everybody's so busy. And other than that, this rest of this month, we're going to be gearing up to get ready to go into the tunnel shutdown, which is going to be going from December 3rd all the way till March 15th.
Wow.
So, with minimal staff, it's exciting. So,
we're going to be busy.
That's a word.
And yeah.
Use my full PML.
Yeah, that's alternative water system, AWS plant. Yep. We'll pull from the lake. There will be a period in there from the letter they stated. They said there will be a period where we could pull from the tunnel for a short period of time. So hopefully, like in the middle of the whole run, we'll be able to, you know, fill our clear wells or one of them. The other one, they're actually using the vent shaft to access the tunnel to do some of the repairs. So they're paying us to have the turbine removed during the project, so we won't have the ability to pump from Big Creek. But so
logistics.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if we didn't have these backup supplies and everything else?
Yeah,
that's sewer project.
Sewer project is done. Substantial completion on that as well. We went through all the punch list items. They've been signed off. All the lift stations have been completed, recoating and floating in the floors on those. And I know that project actually helped us at lift station 10, which is down there off Gamble and Jacksonville. That one had a lot of water coming in, just from around the pipe fittings into the dry well, running in. And once that pump system is probably dropped more than half of what it was doing. Wow. So that is a huge thing. A lot of groundwater in that area out there. So that was a huge part of that project. We have some more. Actually, I take that back. The other part of the project, we have some change order stuff that we're going to do. It's coming up, but the main body of the project has been completed. So now we're looking at, we've got some of this money left over. We got the okay. They're going to come in and do a few more of the stations for us. We just haven't had any price back yet. We haven't had anybody. They're looking for bypass pump. And so they're actually going to hire a company instead of Moyle Construction doing it. They're going to hire companies to come in. So they're looking at Sunbelt and Rain. in for it. They're going to come in, I'm thinking it's this week too, to do kind of like walk through and actually get an idea of what they're going to need to make this happen. Because the other stations, you're able to just pull off a manhole, or it had two wet welds in a sense, so you could bypass one and the other one and didn't have to pump it anywhere. But the other ones, you're going to have to pump, and the breakovers for all those, you're looking at some of them like 3,000 feet away. So you can't lay pipe on the ground that long. So that's part of the project. That's why they're going to have to figure out, they're going to have holding tanks with pump system and somehow get it in, like a pump to get it into the holding tank because of the elevation change. It's a process. So they will be out here this week to do that.
So the renovation was basically pulling the pumps, cleaning,
and then
we have a lot of concrete corrosion from hydrogen sulfide line, and so this will give them another 50 years of life as long as this stuff holds up and reduces odors, makes it easier to clean.
Zero warranty on that stuff.
I think it's a standard year to 2 years on the craftsmanship, but they're saying it's supposed to last like 30 to 40 years, so it's like an epoxy coating. I don't know the make or anything, it's a hell of a project. But it's like some of the barrels, the way it is, they have the base barrel where everything's at, and then they stack on top, and some of the seams and the joints and stuff are starting to leak, and like people say, the concrete's falling, and the aggregate showing from water constantly pouring in onto it, and the gas and stuff. So they'll bring up that coating up into the dry and mechanical wells, and Brandon.
So my part is to work with Brandon on the state to get it approved, because the minute you mention remove pumps, then it becomes a lift station renovation, and it is outside the scope of the original contract. So we have to go through amendment number 3 to the contract. Mm-hmm. But we've got, $1 million left if we want to make sure it's spent on the project. Yeah. One of the anomalies where our bids were low.
Wow.
So it's extended the project out quite a bit, Nick, but boy, I'll tell you, it's addressed a lot of things. It's a lot of good infrastructure.
Yep, there's 6 more of them. We do have a priority list, though, so if the budget comes in way out of control, we have a list of how we're gonna, which one we're gonna go with. So I think that's it on the project. So
thank you. Administrator services.
You started that whole report out by saying it's a really slow month.
On the maintenance side of stuff, we're pretty status quo. We didn't have any blow ups out there. And I said that loud.
No, I'm just playing, but it is very busy around here. So I'll just start out by backdating to last month. Megan and I went to a board secretary conference in San Diego, and as always, it's very refreshing to go to the breakout sessions, and knowing that we are practicing all of our procedures in the highest level, that's always felt good to me to be able to just go, we do that, so that's always really refreshing. It was the highest attendance at this board secretary with over 500 attendees. And there was several of the breakout sessions I attended where it was overflow capacity. There's up to 50 people secretaries sitting on the floor with their workbooks or laptops and stuff like that. So it was really good. I did print out Megan's takeaways for the board of directors if you want to take that and read that on your own time. She did great, and I was happy to be there with her. As far as me sitting in this position right now, I have been learning a ton about HR and the processes and all the responsibilities that come with filling in for Jennifer. She did tell me when she left that it's either going to be relatively boring and easy, or you are going to be nonstop, and it has been in itself. Pete and I sat down with Seuss Insurance and went over our health benefits for the 2025 year, and we were pleasantly surprised that it's not going up too much percentage wise, and we have decided to not make any adjustments or plan changes because of what we're receiving. It seems to be working very well with everybody here, all the staff. You can touch more on them if you want to, or maybe we do it in January. Jennifer started in 2019. She started updating the district employee handbook, and legal counsel has had that over the last month or so, and I just received it last week with his suggested revisions, and so I'll be reading through that and making sure that all of the procedures match with our policies, and if we don't, then we'll be updating policies to match the procedures of the handbook. Over the last month and a half or so, I've been working directly with Bryce Consulting, who did the employee compensation and benefit study. And so I won't touch too much on that because Shelley will be presenting today at 11:15 her findings with that study. And then just last week, we re-engaged with NBS for our water and sewer rate study, and then also we'll be discussing and trying to figure out how we step into the special tax for the fire department. So I expect that to be coming up in December and then going forward. So it's that fun time of district business, which I'm learning all about. And then Pete and Michelle and I, we did last week, a 3-hour grant training workshop, how to finance your infrastructure projects. And that was a really, really good, we were kind of dreading it going in 3 hours, you know, but it was actually a very streamlined presentation. And then the last hour of the presentation, they did breakout rooms on the Zoom platform, so we could go to any of the agencies that were representing their money allocations and go in and meet them directly and ask specific questions to see maybe if our project X, Y, or Z matches their allocation process. So that was really good. We took away a lot from there and have a couple scheduled meetings in the near future.
Was that who sponsored the workshop? Was it the state or
this of the California Finance Coordination Committee? And it's been around since right around 2000, and they realized that people were applying for funding from one place, but it would have been better for them to go to another or support it. And they've been doing it ever since. It used to be all in person. Well attended, you know, 100 people in the room. I presented at it a couple times. Strongly recommend it. It's just great at making the relationships and really getting to know the people that actually make the decisions on the money. And so now they're in COVID, they went all virtual, and they've pretty much perfected it. It's an all virtual platform.
Really good. How many different agencies would you say attended? Yeah. So they all had a very specific presentation representing different organizations, and they were spot on it. And then they had their guest speaker that was okay, now introducing so and so with FEMA. And then they would have the floor for 10 minutes and they would get their great deal and then just move on bing, bing, bing to the next. And then, like I said, the last hour, you have 15 different breakout rooms that you could go to. especially because we're taking notes, like, oh, let's hit this one, you know. So it was really great. It was practical, like being in person. So that was great. And then, let's see, the Laserfish is becoming more utilized within staff members as more forms, workflows, and documents get implemented. So that's great. We have been talking internally a little bit about the paper documents that still sit here at the district, and we're just trying to navigate how we get them digitized. Everything that's in Laserfish right now has been from our e-files, which is a lot, but we still have the entire map room downstairs where Adam lives, and then this whole property files, easements, agreements, AP filing cabinets that need to be digitized, and then that entire Connect. So we're talking internally about how to either take a staff day and have all of admin just scanning, or last year Left Coast came out and did a inventory of all of the documents, and they gave us a quote. So Amber and I revisited that and had a meeting with that representative to go over the breakdown of the costs and the work and the scope of work. And so we're just kind of kicking that around right now. So we may bring that back to the board for further discussion, but that's just a heads up. And then finally, I'm just going to touch up on the park a little bit. Our busy PR part of the season is over. We did our final movies in the park. We attended the Trunk or Treat this year, and we took over the entire stage. It was really great. We set up our circus. Lots of fun. Everybody had a great time. This weekend, we are having our Walk and Talk Part 2. We partnered with Blue Zones again, and she reached out to me over the weekend and said that she already has over 35 people that signed up. And we're meeting up at the Deer Flat location of the 37 acres that was just recently, all the roads were regraded, part of the Clean California grant. And so we're going to walk that. It's about a mile and a half or so, but we've just engaging with our helping trail hikers and bikers and all that kind of stuff. Over the weekend, I was able to put together 7 interpretive signage and a double-sided 4x8 kiosk for the park with the help of Stitches, CSERT, Fire Department, many other people to help me get the information and the pictures, and everything got to read front to the back of Mark Thornton's Brooklyn book. So that was...
I read that one a long time ago.
That was it. A very nice, relaxing weekend. Yeah. Oh, last thing about park. Amber's working on a donation letter that we plan on starting to send out annually every year around October for those people that need to make a tax donation. And then sadly enough, we did not score high enough on the ATP Cycle 7 application for the phase 2 of the Hetch Hetchy trail. So we just gotta try harder.
Figure out where we missed the.
Yeah, I do have an appointment scheduled for a debriefing on how we scored and what we can do to.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that takes a that's the one that we had Green Dot, which Green Dot. Transportation consultants, out of Chico. They're just fantastic at it. And they got 3 of them last cycle, 2 for the county, 1 for us. And they did just as good or better of a job this time.
Yeah.
It's just that the competition's going through the roof, you know.
And we have TCTP to thank for allocating that grant funding money to Green Dot.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, big one.
It didn't cost the district anything to apply, but. We do owe some appreciation to both of them. That concludes me.
Thank you. Any questions?
finance officer's report.
I am working on balancing out the quarterly reports, which we're going to be postponing to December 19th due to upcoming holiday schedules. So we'll have that on the calendar. I've been training with the ClearGov onboarding team. That's our budgeting software that we included last board meeting. We have been able to export all the data from Springbrook, and tomorrow we're going to work on mapping and personnel budgeting. So we're hoping to have it fully functioning by the end of January, the goal. I've been working with Amber and Laserfish. We're working on automating the employee time cards and management approval workflow. So that will streamline my payroll process. And currently we're using Excel spreadsheets. And so this will be all automated, and I'm trying to find a way. I'm going to work with Spring so I can load the data in so I don't have to hand key that as well. So my goal is to streamline different processes. Speaking of funds, we were notified by Mechanics Bank that their interest rate for our money market account is decreasing from 5% to 4.7%. And so I still watch California Class every week. They're still at 4.9%, hovering around 4.9%. So I'm just watching that carefully just to make sure that we have the funds invested in our bank account. So we get the highest interest. Clean California. This last month, we received $176,000, and I just submitted last week another invoice to Caltrans for $111,000. So the funds have been coming in pretty quickly, so it's only taking about 2 weeks from invoice to receiving the check. So that's nice to get that refund.
Yes.
And then just recently, I started to attend the various project meetings with staff so that I can be in the loop. So I know what's going on financially and reporting. So I find that very beneficial to me, so you know what's going on. and last but not least, we closed out the fiscal year 24 annual audit, and that's going to be presented here shortly. That's what I have going on.
Okay, thank you. Go back 6 years and look at the change.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, all of the things that we're talking about are things that, you know, they're not just pie in the sky things. They're things that really need to be done and really are going to set the stage for the future and make it much more streamlined, more efficient. So really appreciate you guys. It's a pleasure to see everybody excel and get so much done. Yeah.
Quite a look back and see how the district has evolved into where it is now. It's such a professional play.
Awesome. Fantastic.
Such a professional play.
I didn't mean to jump.
No, I was
just the clock. Any further comments? No, just on my own stuff. The California Finance Coordinating Committee is a fantastic opportunity. USDA wants to do our new fire engine. It's not all grant, but it doesn't matter. It's not easy. We can't wait for 100% grant anymore because of the timeline to get the replacement and everything else. So as soon as we get a revenue measure, the day afterwards, we're going to be ready to sign on the dotted line. And they really are excited about working by the hook. A piece of it will be grant, you know. And the good thing is they use, USDA uses a different income criteria that we're going to figure out. They don't use the same, you know, the state water boards.
A different assignment of.
They use federal census data adjusted by the Department of Finance and stuff like that, which worked out in our favor. So that's exciting, you know, and expansions on the, you know, anything, renovations on the fire station, stuff like that. When you think in terms of, I'm also thinking about, you know, doing a campus study, not only the you know, fire station and equipment storage and also just maintenance and, you know, shop and those kind of things. So we've got, we'll be doing another round of planning for just general
campus operation or operation and admin facilities in the future. And they fund technical assistance grants, $100,000. Here you go. Through a couple of different programs that I think we'll be able to tap into. Also be able to, we're going to get them a list of projects that we've got going on or, you know, needs. Everything from the fire truck to the hydraulic water, water system hydraulic model, and there's sources of funding out there right now for them. So it was worth our 3 hours. Pretty worn out at the end, but that was a really good a positive thing. The other thing that I've been working on, obviously, for the month, well, attended the LAFCO conference at Tenaya Lodge with Director Krakowski and our other special district commissioner John Ferriani with Pomi Sanitary. Supervisor Jaron Brandon, the city administrator for the city of Sonora, and one of the city council members from the city of Sonora, as well as Steve Ergwin, the public member of LAFCO. And it was a great vibe. It really felt good. It's one of the first positive things that I have to say about the upcoming LAFCO relationship. I really think it's going in the right direction. We still have a lot of work to do, and we've been meeting continuously to try to get to the point where we are able to operate as an independent agency. And none of us looked at it as, hey, when the county said we're withdrawing our staff, we're starting a new government agency, basically. You know, we have to know where the money's, who's going to bank the money, where the office is, who's going to handle the website, the, you know, administration of meetings, the executive officer, legal counsel, all of that stuff has to be pulled together. So we're working very closely with the city on that. The good thing is we share legal counsel, the firms. The city has the same firm that we do, so it's pretty streamlined, good communication. They know us well. So ultimately, we have to, LAFCO did authorize the execution of an agreement with a firm RGS. You may be familiar with them out there. Basically, a bunch of retired city managers, county administrators, district people, specialists in various government agency trades. They're going to help LAFCO get to the point where it has an executive officer, and they're going to do a transition plan. What's our best option for staffing it, making it function, be efficient, and the lowest cost that it can be? So, we're moving on it. So LAFCO was not on my objectives that need to be updated, but LAFCO and spending this much time on it was not there, but it's starting to turn a corner, and I think we're going in a good direction. It's been great to have Janice and John go to things like that conference. They just came away with so much, you know, really, really good, made good contacts and everything else. The other item that we have been dealing with and spending some time with both legal counsel and with the developer and the county is the county's approval of a subdivision at Long Gulch, the Long Gulch Ranch, that originally started out as 19 individual lots, and then was reduced down in a subsequent application to 13 lots, and they did that to avoid certain requirements. So their plan was to get those lots developed and sold so they could generate cash to do more development on that property. Unfortunately, the project is outside the district boundary, so we really have no authority to say you must do this, you must do that. It is within our sphere of influence. So we are required by state law to plan for infrastructure to service those areas in the sphere of influence. And we have been. And we've been working with the developer, but they really have no interest in connecting to the water or sewer systems. The assumption is they want to do it as inexpensively as they can. They're directly adjacent to the district boundaries. They're just directly adjacent to the district water system. And this 13 units has a road that goes down the middle of it, lots on either side with no water system, no fire hydrants across the entire length. So if you need to fill a water trick, if you need to fill an engine, whatever you got to do, if you got to draw from a hydrant, you're going to be driving into the district, pulling off the hydrants to go put water on these properties. It's just poor planning. It's not, it meets, it checked all the county boxes. That was the biggest thing. Rachel, thank you for taking the absolute pain of going to the hearing. I could not be there. And we had material that was prepared by our legal counsel to deliver, you know, into the record, and we did, in opposition to the project. After we opposed new development, we opposed the fact that the county refuses to plan with us at all. Not even one bit. It's more of a kind of, no, it's what we'll, you know, we'll take our punishment later, you know, or ask for permission or whatever. And I put Andy in the middle too, you know, unfortunately, because, you know, we didn't get, we had legal counsel prepare a letter. They didn't do it until the night before. I reviewed it at 8 o'clock the night before, and it was submitted because it had to be submitted before the hearing. But, you know, so it sounded like, you know, it took the county supervisors, and obviously, and in you know, the administration for the Caltrans, it felt like, hey, we're, you know, putting them in a position of being in between us and the county. The developer felt like we were putting us, you know, our concerns and problems with the development, and our problems with the county and planning in between the developer and their ability to develop their property, which we are. It's the county's inability to think ahead that is causing us to be in this position. So anyway, we still have, I don't know where we're going on all this stuff yet. We may have a closed session to talk about litigation. We may not. But that, you know, is really quickly, and it's litigation is the last thing you want to do. But I can't get the only thing it's going to do is stop the project and potentially bring them to the table. But I don't know whether they'll spend the money on it to walk away from it.
He says fairly quickly, he means tomorrow.
So. Before Thursday morning. Yeah. But it's, we need to determine whether we need to have a special meeting to have a conversation about it. I've never used litigation as a tool. I've always had counties come to the table and have a conversation. But this is not happening here. I don't know if they're just not going to do it, then we're going to decide whether we want to just, you know, stop these projects or not. We definitely have the grounds to stop it. It would stop it. Because the cost to respond to that would be and expensive for the developer. Also throughout the state, Quincy Daly brought it up, even though in the past, CEQA did not require that you look at impact on services. They just, all CEQA in the opinion of, you know, municipal planning, it was that all you had to look at is if you had to build a station or if you had to do construction related, anything that was going to potentially harm the environment to deliver the services. Well, in the case of 13 units, nobody's building a new station, no big deal, you know, but the courts are starting to come back with opinions that no, exactly the argument we're making is that yes, ultimately it's cumulatively, it's going to affect services.
Yeah.
And so the courts are starting to say, yeah, you gotta plan it, you gotta figure it out, you know, if you've got a 14-minute response time, and this is going to stretch it out ultimately then. So enough on that because it's taken up way too much of my time and I've kind of hit a wall so I've been able to get any further with it. So now I need to, after this meeting, make the decision whether we're going to put it on for a special meeting.
Surprise. How are those people going to get insurance out there? I mean, come on, you know?
But
no water. No water.
Yeah,
no,
the developer
no
talks about it being affordable housing. You know, this is toward the county's affordable housing goal because they're going to have potential ADU on each property, accessory dwelling unit. That's fine. But in all reality, the people that are going to be building the homes out there and the ADU, you know, may or may not need insurance. They may not have a mortgage. They may have, you know, sell a house somewhere and build a house. I don't know. But it's going to be, it is going to be hard.
Self-insured. That's good.
Okay. We have a timed item.
Okay.
So
there's a limit. We can come back to you if you're not done.
No, I'm done.
I get really excited about this stuff.
We can't
don't turn tell me you're not
the completion of your report.
No, that's fine. We can always come back to you if there are questions.
And then for just so you know, the packet, the submittal starts on page 29.
Submittal for the
talk.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Everyone
stay safe.
Hey, guys.
And it was
just, oh, did you forget his jacket?
Hey, Lenny, you forgot your jacket.
That's my foot. Thank you. Probably the minute you got out the door, you
realized.
Yeah,
yeah.
For sure.
Okay, I'm sorry, I thought you had an answer. Okay,
no,
so the fiscal year 24 audit was recently completed by Bryant Jolly, certified public accountant. So in your packet today, you have a final copy of the audited financials and the management discussion and analysis, which goes into great detail regarding each fund. Gilbert and Associates typically presents to your board. However, this year they were unavailable. So Ryan Jolly has graciously agreed to attend today. He's going to present to you and answer any questions that you might have. So welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, yeah, I can.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for having me here today. I'm going to just go over some high-level items and some comments, and then I'll be happy to take any specific questions you have. As mentioned, we've completed the audit for the district for the fiscal year ending June 30, 2024. Just beyond the table of contents is the independent auditor's report. This is where we issued an unqualified opinion stating that the books and records of the district are in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. This is a clean opinion, so the most favorable opinion that can be received under audit. So that's to be commended for receiving another clean opinion. This year, we also had a single audit, which had to do with some federal funding. We'll get to that report a little bit later in the financial statements, but that's referred to as well in that opening independent auditor's report. As mentioned, the management's discussion analysis starting on page 4 has a lot of good information. This is the introduction to the financial statements. It gives some comparative information, explains some differences from the prior year to the current year, also highlights some of the more significant capital asset purchases that occurred during the current year, has some graphs and tables showing, you know, some breakouts of charges for services and how the revenues have been collected and showing basically that everything has been very consistent from the prior year to the current year. So I'd invite you to read that through that management discussion analysis because it gives a very good introduction. Yours is very well written and is detailed enough to give the reader a good introduction to the financial statements. Getting into the body of the financial statements on page 21, this is the government-wide financial statements. This is what we call a full accrual statements. This is capturing all of the assets and liabilities of the district for both the business type funds, water and sewer, as well as the governmental funds for fire and parks and rec. So this is capturing your pension liability, your OPEB liability, which is your retirement benefits, health retirement benefits. Also is capturing capital assets and any long-term debt. Overall, the district has a net position of just over $26.4 million. The year before that, if you look at page 22, the net position was just over $22.9 million. So there was a $3.5 million increase in the current year, in the current fiscal year. After that, we get into what we call the governmental funds on a modified accrual basis. These are the obligations of these funds on a more short-term basis, not capturing the capital outlay or the capital assets or the long-term debt, but more or less those things that are going to be recognized within the 60 days after fiscal year end. Here we have the fire protection and the parks and recreation being presented here. On page 25 is the profit and loss, essentially, or statement of revenues and expenditures for the year. And both funds are operating as intended. You'll notice that the Parks and Rec had a decrease or an excess of expenditures over revenues of about $110,000. A large part of that had to do with some capital outlay of $454,000 in the current year. That gets capitalized on a full accrual basis, but on these governmental fund financial statements, that those items get expensed off. So getting down then into the business type activities, these are your funds that operate off of user charges. We have the water fund and sewer fund. Just to note, there's no new GASBs or no new pronouncements this year, so these financial statements will look very similar to prior years. But getting on to page 28, once again, both of these funds had an increase in net position. The water fund had a net increase of about $657,000, and the sewer had a net increase of $2.2 million. A lot of that, the sewer had a grant of about federal grant of about $2.2 million, so that's making up most of the increase in that position. Even though we spent that on capital outlay, that gets put on the statement of net position as an asset and is depreciated over the life of the asset. After that, you get into the notes to the financial statements. This gives you a more detailed explanation of all the significant asset and liabilities of the district. The district is meeting its debt obligations. Other than that, there's also some significant footnotes on the pension liability and the post-retirement benefit liability. Both of these are based off of actuarial studies that are done each year. And depending on the discount rate that's used and different inputs based on life expectancy or healthcare trend rates, these numbers fluctuate from year to year. But the district is continuing to meet its obligations with both and is recognizing that liability on its financial statements in order to give the readers of the financial statements an idea of what that liability would look like. Getting into towards the end of the financials, starting on page 52, is some budget to actual comparison schedules showing how the fire protection fund and the parks and rec fund did in comparison to what was budgeted. And then there's some historical information on the pension liability and the OPEB liability. We're working up to a 10-year presentation for both. OPEB became effective a little bit after the PERS or the pension liability. So we've actually hit that 10-year mark for the pension liability, but the OPEB liability, we're at about year 7 right now. After that, we get into the schedules that relate to the single audit, which had to do with the district receiving those federal funds of just about $2.2 million from the EPA. We did additional testing on those expenditures, making sure they were in compliance with the grant. And we didn't identify any findings related to the activity related to that grant. Getting down to page 59 and 60. This is our auditor's report on the internal controls of the district. This is where we look at your significant transaction classes, such as cash disbursements, payroll, and cash receipts, making sure that there's proper segregation of duties. And once again, we didn't identify any material weaknesses or significant deficiencies in those processes. Following that report is our other auditor's report regarding the single audit. And as I mentioned, there was no findings related to the single audit. So that's a clean opinion. Lastly, getting down to page 64 is just a summary of the auditor's results around the financial statements and the audit of the federal awards. Note, and that's where you can see the summarized information saying that there were no material weaknesses or significant deficiencies. And then lastly is our management report to the board, letting you know that we didn't have any difficulties in completing the audit, didn't have any disagreements with management, and didn't identify any uncorrected misstatements. So another favorable report for the district, and that's our communication directly from us to the board. Overall, a clean audit for the district. Staff doing a great job, and we appreciate the help of Gilbert and Associates. They do a great job putting the financial statements together and just working with the whole team in order to, you know, some of this stuff has gotten more complicated over the last couple of years with the pension liability footnotes and the leases and the OPEB. And so I think that's been a good working relationship, having them just be there available to help implement some of these more complicated GASB statements. So we appreciate them, appreciate your staff, and thank you for the opportunity to work with the district again. I can now take any specific questions you have.
I have one really trivial question just because I don't know what it means. So back okay. On page 64, auditee did not qualify as a low risk auditee. What would you have to do to be a low risk auditee?
Yeah, that would be at least 2 years of a single audit with no findings. And so you're not doing single audits regularly. So if we were to have another single audit again, then you would qualify as a low risk auditee, and that kind of changes the scope of testing we have to do. If you're having multiple years of single audits and not having any findings.
Thank you. I like to learn something every time I look through one of these. Thank you.
Yeah.
Any other questions? I couldn't tell you from a staff perspective. These guys have been fantastic to work with. And that's a fantastic job. And I'll tell you, having Michelle in the driver's seat here in the office and working directly through all this stuff, it leaves me in a review position rather than a do position, which is really, really beneficial, you know, to step back. And they just work so well between Gilbert and Dolly and Michelle. It's just been so seamless. It's a process. There's no question about it.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. A lot of topics too.
Sorry about that.
Did a lot of projects the last couple of years, you know, with state and federal funds.
Yep. A lot of moving parts.
Yeah. Very good.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right. We'll see you guys later. Have a good day. Good day.
Thank you. I move to accept the 2023-24 audit financial statements.
I second that motion.
Thank you.
Very good. So it's removed and seconded to accept. Is this receive and file? Or is the accept? I guess this was an accept.
Yeah.
The 2023 audited financial statements, the audit of it. Mm-hmm. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, carries 3-0 with 2 accepts.
And yes, we do file them.
No, no, there's just at SDRMA, they got to, we do a lot of stuff where we receive and file a report. We don't accept it, we just receive it. It's just a terminology. But this is an accept. With a small difference of some sort.
Less than 5% of my time without that management discussion analysis, maybe 3%.
No, I appreciate the help, and I sat with Pete and Louie and helped me get through my first one. So thank you guys very much. I've learned so much, and next year is going to be even smoother and better.
Okay, so we now have another timed item at 11:30. So our folks are here. A presentation and discussion regarding the employment compensation and benefits study prepared by Bryce Consulting.
Okay, so as the board knows, you guys approved a request for proposals in June, and we got that proposal out on the streets, so to say, and we received 5 proposals back by the deadline of July 11th. And then we did our committee in-house and went into agreement with Bryce Consulting. And he and I and Jennifer, prior to her leaving, have been working with Shelly at Bryce Consulting. And she now has an analysis ready and is online to give a presentation of her findings. Hi, Shelly.
Hi, how are you?
How are you?
Good. Just want to make sure everyone can hear me okay. I'm going to go ahead and share my screen. I do have a PowerPoint if that's all right. But as mentioned, I'm Shelly Anderson. I'm with Bryce Consulting, and we are a human resource consulting firm out of Folsom. We work with predominantly public agencies. We do a lot of classification and compensation work. And so we were asked, as mentioned, to provide compensation services for the district, and we've concluded that process. So what I wanted to do is walk you through what we did, who we compared to, and then what the overall findings were. Feel free to stop me at any time if you have any questions, but certainly I tried to keep the presentation fairly brief so that we could dig into any questions that you might have at the end. So what I would like to do is review kind of the key objectives of this study, the agencies that we compared to, the data elements, because it was salary plus benefits, the classifications that we chose to compare, and then our findings, recommendations, and then obviously any questions that you might have. In terms of the key objectives, we had a group of organizations. We collected and analyzed the base salary and the benefit information. We collected all of the job descriptions from the agencies. We collected their budget documents, organizational charts where available. One of the important things about the budget documents is it lists oftentimes what positions an organization is actually using so that we know if the classification is budgeted, if the job description is being used, then more than likely the job description is current, it's up to date, the salary would receive any increases that would be provided to the rest of the organization. Sometimes when they don't budget for a classification, they just kind of leave it on the books. They don't always update the salary. So that's why it's important to know if it's budgeted. We calculated both the median, which is the midpoint, as well as the mean, which is the average. And the reason we did this is because to my knowledge, you don't have a written compensation policy that says what you'll compare to. Most organizations do use the median because it tends to be a more stable number. It's less likely to be skewed by either a high or a low payer. However, in this instance, we calculated both. In terms of the agencies, we use the 12 organizations that you've compared to in the past, and they all fully participated. So it includes a mix of water agencies, community services districts. We have the San Francisco PUC. And so organizations that you have surveyed in the past that would provide similar services, because we want to make sure that they have similar classifications. We calculated, we calculated, as I mentioned, both the median and the mean. I did set the recommendations, or at least provide recommendations using the median, but we are looking at salary and benefits. So we have the maximum of the salary range. There's no paid incentives included there. We calculated the data at that point where we're just looking at the maximum of the range. Then we roll in a few more benefits, what we call total cash. So that's the maximum of the range. We have deferred compensation contribution that the agency makes on behalf of the employee, even if it's a matching. We have longevity pay. We always pick year 10, just because that's a point where if an organization has it, they tend to have it at year 10, and it's a consistent point in time across all the organizations. If we compare the maximum, some organizations will max out at 20 years, and I've seen others go as high as 35 years. And then I also think once you start getting into the 30, 35, there's probably very few employees that are receiving it, which is why we pick 10 years. If the organization provides any additional compensation for employees who obtain some level of education that's above what's required, or certification that's above what's required, we have included those incentives. So then we calculated the data off of the total cash. And then we did a third calculation, which is off of total compensation. So it's everything I mentioned. Plus then we're looking at the insurance. So what's the most that the agency contributes on behalf of the employee family rate for if it's a cafeteria plan, health, dental, vision, life, long-term disability. If they have a retiree health savings account, where they're actively contributing on behalf of the employee while they're employed. And then once the employee retires, they can use that money towards health. And then are they in Medicare only or Medicare plus FICA? And then if there's a cost sharing where the employee is paying a portion of the employer's share of retirement, we would have subtracted that out. And we looked at the PEPRA tier as opposed to the classic tier. Included, that was all in the data sheets. Then we have several summary tables with miscellaneous benefit data, which are truly benefits, but they're a little bit harder to quantify. We looked at when their MOUs are going to expire. We looked at what is the date and the amount of their next cost of living increase. What are their retirement practices? Are they under CalPERS or something else? What's their benefit? What's the formula? What is the percentage split in terms of healthcare that is paid by the employer and what's paid by the employee? Once you retire, those post-employment retiree health benefits, we collected all of the leave information, vacation, sick leave, holiday, if they provide some type of administrative or management leave. If they provide auto allowance or they provide a vehicle, what is it and who do they provide it to? And do they have any type of housing benefit? These are the 13 classifications that we compared. You can see that there's a lot of twos in here. There's an administrative services tech two, collections and distribution operator two. You have a full classification series where you have a one, two, and a three for those different classifications. We usually pick the journey level to compare. Not everyone has an entry level and not everyone's gonna have an advanced journey level. And so if we pick the journey level, that's the level that will result in the best data. And then we apply some internal consistencies where we want to have the one set a certain percent below the two, the three a certain percent above the two, so that all the classifications are receiving the benefit of the market data, but we're also maintaining consistency within your internal alignment. In terms of the results, for the most part, if you're behind on base pay, you catch up significantly on the market once we roll in all the benefits. So this first column has all of your survey classifications. The next two columns are just the maximum of the range. You have the median, which is the midpoint. You have the mean, which is a mathematical average. So you can see for the administrative services manager, you're 22.75% behind market on base pay for the median, 27.49% behind on the mean. Then we have the total cash, which is the base pay plus the deferred comp, the longevity, the education certification. You can see you gain a little bit when we look at the median for total cash because you went from 22.75% behind to 19.76. You're 26.15% behind on the mean. And then we roll in all the paid insurances. And that's where you can see the more significant shift, which is why we run the data in 3 points. Because if your position changes on the changes compared to the market at total comp, we want to try to identify which benefit is causing that shift. So for example, if we look at the administrative services technician two, you're 6.63% behind on base pay when we look at the median, and you're 5.22% above market with total compensation when we look at the median. And so you'll be able to kind of see that trend throughout. The district property easement and asset tech, we just didn't have a lot of agencies have a match to that. So that's why there isn't any data there. I will say that with the two agencies that we had, you're like right there with those two. It's just usually if there's two or fewer, we just don't calculate the data. The market check just means this is a classification that you're looking to potentially add, and you don't have a salary for us to compare to the market. So we can't show a percentage that you're above or below. However, we collected the data so that should the organization want to add that classification, they know what they need, you know what you have to pay in order to be competitive. Overall, when we look at all of the classifications that we surveyed and we look at the median, so for all those classes, you're about 8% below market on base pay, about 7.29% on total cash, and you're 0.67% above on total compensation. So you can see that's where that shift is. The same occurs when we look at the mean. You're 12.24% below on base pay, 11.09% below for total cash, and you're 1.04% below for total compensation. So even though you're still below, you've gained over 11% when we roll in your benefits. And this is really why. So we looked at the other organizations and what on average they pay towards health insurance, and they're paying $2,708 and you're paying $3,437. So that additional $700 and some is making that significant shift from being behind market to being less behind market or even above market in some cases. So what we have proposed is that the classifications that are behind market be brought to the market median for total compensation, and then we create consistency between your levels. So where I mentioned you had series, in some cases you have 10% between the levels, and then in some cases you have 16%. That 16 and some series is between the entry and the journey, and another series is between the journey and the advanced journey. Typically, we would recommend 10%. So we're overall, your internal alignment is not inconsistent with market or best practices, with the exception of a couple places. So we're recommending to setting the salaries for those classifications behind market to market, and then fixing some of that internal alignment so that you have 10% between levels. And so big picture, that's what we've done, and that is what the results are. But I am happy to dig into anything that you want or answer any questions that you have.
Yes, this is your first exposure to this, as it was ours. You know, we really just reviewed the report and data last week as we were preparing for this meeting. So there's no action at this point recommended other than to make sure that we have a good understanding of the data and the findings and recommendations. And then we'll schedule this for action at a future
board meeting.
Implementation. Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. This would be a receipt and file. Perfect. Well, and I have to tell you, so you guys did a fantastic job, and you stuck with me when I went and brain dead on the road, went the wrong way on the road, and just trying to make sure that I understood the data analysis. It's very understandable, and it appears to be a very solid methodology.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's the sort of thing we really couldn't do ourselves. Yeah. The data
takes too much time.
It really does. And that's very worthwhile. Any questions from the board? Staff. I'd say if we hadn't made the adjustments over the union MOU in those couple of years, we would have had a big jump.
I'm rather pleasantly surprised by this. I don't really, we finally got there.
Yeah.
Actually gotten.
Is what we're in 2018.
Sort of competitive.
26% below.
We've actually gotten reasonably competitive. So
yeah,
that's all we can really do.
Harry, that was that goes back to those 6 years ago.
So I will entertain a motion to receive and file the employee compensation and benefits study heard by Bryce Consulting.
Well, I'll second that motion.
No, I just, you have to make the motion.
I hope to accept the compensation and benefits study prepared by Bryce Consulting team and directing the development of an implementation plan for revised salaries. And as I said, I'll second
that. Okay, it's been moved and seconded to receive and file this report and proceed with it forward.
Can I ask you, yes, just before we take the action, I see Andy's on and Klein, right? Mm-hmm. Just if he has any comment, any thoughts?
No, I was just morbidly curious as to where we fell in. And you know, like you said, we look competitive, and that's pretty awesome to hear. So
okay. Ronnie, you got anything to say? Janice?
Hello. Sorry, I missed the beginning of the meeting.
That's okay. Glad to have you.
Thank you.
We just went over the presentation from Bryce Consulting with Shelley regarding the employee compensation study.
Oh, wonderful.
We were just taking public comment.
I don't have any at this time since I didn't read the packet.
Well, welcome.
We'll have more opportunity to have a conversation about it. So we have a motion pending to receive and file this report and authorize construction of recommendations from the staff.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Any opposed? So we have that motion's approved 3-0, and we can't actually use Janice because we're going to be doing this. So, thank you.
Thank you so much. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you, Shelley.
Thanks, Shelley.
Bye.
Okay, moving back to staff reports. We just check, does the general manager have anything further to say in terms of staff report items?
No, I'm really, it's good that we can get through these types of things. These are the big things that keep us afloat, you know, between the audit and the one job that we're doing internally on things are clean and clear and in compliance with all the requirements that we have, and then also the fact that we're keeping a close eye on the compensation and the pay for employees, because I'll tell you, that's one of the hardest things that we deal with, is we just lose so much ground when we're short staff. We're full staff right now.
I think we're down one.
We're still down one.
We're down,
we
one.
Down one.
Yeah,
okay.
We just had a new hire.
Oh, that's right.
Last week.
What was the person hired into?
Maintenance.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, we're still down
to
one.
Fulfill Travis's position.
True. Okay.
But
we have threes.
What's the minimum for that, for them to come in? We'd like them either water or wastewater, right? We need at least a two.
Okay.
Either one would be ideal.
And safety is very eager to get somebody on board.
How many classes do they take for that?
Well, to get a wastewater two, you know, like 2 to 3 years to get that.
Wow.
We have the time and grade.
Water side's a little more relaxed and a little easier to get. You can take courses and actually take your exam and have your cert, even though you don't have any field experience.
Right.
Wastewater, you have to have field experience before you can take a qualification test. So. But we need somebody that has experience. that's what we really what the certification like.
We have about a half a dozen resumes applications right now because we have been advertising. So Stacy did take them and Louie's been looking over them and she's gonna evaluate those and see if there's any potential in the, within those applicants.
It kind of comes down to the world of we have water and sewer.
Yeah.
And for people to be on call, you have to be certified to vote, right? So, or you really can't be on call. We're going to have multiple people on call, but partner will use only have one. So it's just kind of like one of those juggling acts. Like, where do we go? Do we go with water because they're getting ready to go to AWS? And if they don't have a water cert, they can't operate. So it's.
But just in our recent conversations that we've had about reorganizing the structure to separate the two departments, that would be, you know, helpful in, for these kinds of reasons. So that kind of goes side by side with the reorganization and comp study classifications and stuff like that. So we'll bring it back.
That sounds interesting, reorganization of the structure. You know, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing that.
It's been a general discussion. There's nothing concrete or anything. We're just kind of putting our toes in the water, you know. But it's going to be all the classifications are there if we need to do it, right? They're already there. We have
the thing about, I mean, we always have the dual certification requirement because on paper it looks like, gee, what a good deal. You know, it's more flexible, everything's groovy, and we're really small, so it's good to have that. Problem is, you can't hire anybody to do it.
Right.
I mean, that, you know, the practicality, I think, requires us to review
what we are reviewing.
So.
We are, and that was one of the considerations in this last agenda item, was we had a big jump between the one and two, in our certified positions, and we had that there because we just weren't able to bring people in that were already certified where they could legitimately jump into the first level and then just kind of advance to the second level whenever, you know, maybe according to a schedule. In this case, we were having to make them really work hard in the first level to get to the second level and then reward them with a big jump. So now we've evened it out, and I think I think we're gonna, that's gonna be the next step between that evaluation and all the other financial stuff we're working on, revenue measures and rates and connection capacity and all that. We've got a good couple months coming up.
Okay, so just to, for those of, who may have joined, we've just actually completed the general manager's report because we have timed items, so we went ahead and did that. So the next thing up actually is proclamations. And the first one on the list is recognition of Nathan Muppet for his 4 years of service to the Groveland Community Services District.
Well, since Andy's on, I think I should give it to him since he works hand in hand with these gentlemen.
Okay.
I will chime in, but I think it would be good to give a little proclamation there.
I got to go to lunch.
Oh, what's the matter? The internet is not working.
I'm just kidding. Nathan is definitely a great employee. He's a workhorse. He always has his head down and is reliable. Constantly learning new things, which is great. Even, you know, 4 years in, there's still a ton to learn. You know, it's just such a wide range of things that we do that you're constantly learning new things and learning new ways to do it. And I'm really happy to have him on the team. So, and like even today, he started in the meter reading and, you know, he's gotten away from that. So we have him back full time, but the meter reader's out today on vacation day. So he's covering that function. And he's a great backup for that as well. So nothing but praise for Nathan.
That's very good. Thank you.
Welcome.
second, and I don't know if you get to do this one too, but is a recognition of Darren Dalton for his 2 years of service to the Groveland Community Services District.
That's my guy too. he's our meter reader. He's doing great. He's always got a smile on his face and a pep in his step. He has picked up the job well. We have him half the time out in the field with us, and he's learning. He came to us green. Mostly warehouse type stuff that he did before, but he definitely is picking up and learning new things as well. So he's definitely maturing as a operator. So he is on a vacation day today. He's got his going to get his commercial driver's license next week, and we continue to work well with him. So.
Thank you. These guys both made them, and they're just perfect with the team, you know, with the family, with the whole thing. They just got a great vibe, and I have to jump up from my desk and come up and see these guys when they're up there, you know, covering things with the office out. They just really, you can tell they just really like what they do. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of very functional. Because so many times, you know, in a work environment, everybody's growly and doesn't want to talk to the other one. They always want to share.
Yeah, both of these guys are really communicative. Mm-hmm. And it's funny that they're covering each other mostly because Nathan was our last reader. None of you understood it until I corrected myself. You all went with it.
I was laughing.
What's your name?
But for Nathan, he's always just so kind and thorough and always checking in with Megan about anything that he's doing out there with has to do with customers and stuff. And then Darren, he, you know, working by himself 15 days out of the month, every single day he comes in at the end of the day and checks in with us. And he's just always got the biggest smile and always ready to just sit down and communicate with another individual. He's been in the car for 6 or 7 hours himself. So he's great company.
Sensory deprivation.
Yeah, exactly. Great company, both of them.
Yeah, the personalities are too different. They're great, but Nathan's soft spoken.
Oh yeah.
He's very calm, very mellow, easygoing. You know, he is thorough, like everybody was saying. He works well. You can send him out and you know you're gonna get a good product out of whatever he does. Darren, you can hear him in here. Uh-huh. He's loud, happy, just like coming in, man. And he just goes with the flow too, you know. So it's good. And when you're reading meters, I did it, right? Sometimes you're like, I'm glad to have these 10 days by myself, you know. And then there's other times you're like, yeah, this kind of I want to be with the guys, they're doing something cool and I'm not, you know. But he doesn't let him get him down. He just does his thing and it's good. Mm-hmm. We just need to keep seeing this trend because this 2 years, 4 years used to be the norm, right? That was turnover. And now we're starting to see fives and lots of, you know, we have some fours out there, but the fives, the six, and so I can't wait to see more of that. And field people. So
they're actually making a career.
Yes.
Well, this is one of the few places on the Hill that you can have a career. Mm-hmm. Really is.
Okay, and our final proclamation is a recognition of Spencer Edwards for his 7 years of service to the Groveland Community Services.
7 years.
And I will just start briefly by saying I'm sure glad you're here.
Oh, well, thanks.
You know what? It's actually, I can remember the day that we swore to win at the community hall.
I remember that day, too. Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, a little intense on the town hall meeting, right? I remember when it just seemed like yesterday.
Yeah.
7 years. But yeah, your level headedness and just the ability to work with everybody as a team on the board and seeing the board act like they do. You're a big reason for that because you are level headed. It's good. I really, Bob, these two, John and Bob, have been there forever.
I remember when you took your oath. I was so happy. knowing you were going to be there. So when I joined, I'd have another new person.
Yeah, I remember.
Yes, you two were kind of the, well, you peaked, basically, the two of you. So that's a pretty good accomplishment.
And, you know, and I started out reading meters here, too, as an employee, like in 92, I think it was, a long time ago. I started out reading meters with you and Nathan.
Pretty much everybody.
Quite a few of us. But I feel in love with this water district. It's a great place to work. It's a great organization to be part of. It really is. I like working here. I was on the fire department. I worked here. This is a great organization. It really is. I mean, you used to think of it as, well, we're watering people, we're taking away their waste and throwing it, and then they grow up and go away, you know, and it's the heart of this whole area. Is this water district. You can't walk across the street without walking across one of our pipes. It's
hopefully not exposed.
Yeah, it's been great. Thank you for everything.
Thank you.
Yeah,
really, you're stuck with me for another couple of years.
Good.
Okay.
Yeah. I just want to say it's been a pleasure.
You too, John. And, you'll wrestle.
This board is amazing. So that's all I need to say.
Yeah. Moving on, I will entertain a motion to approve the consent calendar.
I'll move to approve the consent calendar.
And I will second that motion.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve the consent calendar. Is there any discussion? Anybody want to take anything out of the consent calendar for separate discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Is approved 3-0 with 2 absent. There is no old business. And so moving to discussion action items, we've already covered the first two of them. So we are now on to item 6C, adoption of a resolution authorizing the district and the unrepresented employees relating to government code 20516 cost share contributions. Which someone is going to explain.
That was really, when you left after you did the submittal, and I was reading the title of the resolution, like, doesn't make sense to me. But yes, I'm so happy you're here.
I'm just going to summarize the board agenda memo because that's how it made sense to me. But on October 8th, the board approved the new memorandum of understanding with the operators, engineers, Local 3. So that's effective October 18th of the 2024 through the June 30th of 2029. In the MOU, it included amendments to the cost-sharing agreement with CalPERS and our classic local miscellaneous members. And what it does is it's reducing their cost share from 2.5% of the employer's contribution to 0. So currently we have 6 employees that are classic members, but one is unrepresented by that union. So in order to have an amendment updated with CalPERS, I've been working with the CalPERS retirement contract department. That's not the right words. But what they require is adoption of the resolution that's before you today that identifies the unrepresented employee per the new government code 20516. So once the resolution is finalized and sent to CalPERS, the contract amendment process can begin. And that's gonna actually require 2 more board actions. So if everything proceeds as planned, we can have this amendment and the contract updated, hopefully in place by February 2025. So even though you approved it for October 18th, the CalPERS takes 90 to 100 days to update this contract. So that's really what they're asking for. We're just trying to fulfill their steps to amend our CalPERS.
So this is actually holding up the thing we agreed to in the MOU.
Yes.
So okay.
So that we'll get back, sent back to them, and we're gonna bring back 2 more.
Okay.
And if this is just, we'll start the process. Fine.
So
I move to adopt resolution 34-2024.
Yes.
Authorizing the district and the unrepresented employees relating to Government Code 20516, cost share contributions. Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve Resolution 34-2024, a resolution of GCSD and the unrepresented employees, do you want to say that? Resolution of the Global Community Board of Directors and the
unrepresented. That's how Hers wrote it.
That's the sample. Oh,
okay. I copied them.
So the resolution of the Board of Directors of the Groveland Community Services District and the unrepresented employees related to Government Code 25-20516 budget. Been moved and seconded to adopt Resolution 34-2024, which I have not written again. any discussion?
Yep.
This is straightforward. We probably agreed to drop the cost sharing. That was something that the employee historically speaking, that was a thing that the employees did a long time ago because we were out of money. And
2012.
Yeah, and so it's good. About time to. I think we reduced it at one point.
We took on 2.5 of the employees' cost share to get a cost of double bigger.
Yeah. Okay, so all in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? And any abstentions? No. So it's approved 3-0 with 2 absences. And with that, we have reached the end of the day, and so this meeting is adjourned at 12:08.
Look at you. Two meetings.